dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We have in today's readings material for a good meditation on the subjective aspect of our faith and our living of the faith. In the first reading, we heard St. Peter's witness to the people, very much reminiscent of St. John the Baptist's witness when he said, when St. John said to the people, speaking of the Lamb, he must increase, then I must decrease. And so the people are looking in amazement at Peter and John and this lame man who now walks. And St. Peter takes the occasion then to remind the people of the prophecies that spoke of the Messiah and to point out to them who Jesus is, the one whom they killed. You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or piety? And then he goes on to explain that Jesus is this servant of God who's been raised up, the author of life. Of this, we are witnesses. And then he goes on to show that Jesus is the Messiah through whose name this man has been cured. And he sort of gives a species of absolution, kind of a general absolution to the people. I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. And then he points out how God has brought to fulfillment, has brought good out of the evil of this, their having put to death the Savior. God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. And then after that sort of general absolution to give people a bit of confidence that they might be forgiven, then he invites them to the specific and particular repentance and conversion. In other words, he's opened the door for them, and now he invites them to come through it. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. Jesus' act of redemption, the salvation that he worked by the sacrifice of his own self, laying down his life, is the opening of the door for all souls to be able to have the opportunity to enjoy eternal life. But an open door is an invitation. We have to accept that invitation and go through that door. And so there's an objective aspect of redemption, Jesus's act of self-sacrifice by which the Father's justice is appeased. But then there's also the subjective aspect, which is our own recognition of Christ, of Jesus, as the Savior, and our belief, our faith in him, our becoming baptized and following him. And Peter, in a certain sense, also points this out when he says that you look at us as though we had done this. We can do nothing of our own. The objective source of grace is Jesus Christ. But Christ wills to give his grace to all people in a mediated way most of the time. And that medium is the church, which includes all of us. God wants us to be his instruments. We first have to become inserted as branches into the vine that is Christ. But then through the branches, the fruits come. And so we're all called to be instruments. And each of us is given grace. But how that grace, how we receive that grace, and the effects of that grace in each one varies. Not everyone is going to have the kind of graces, let's say, how to put this, Peter and John and the other apostles were so united with God, and God willed it in their particular cases, being the primary witnesses of the truth of Christ, he gave incredible gifts and worked wonders through them, this curing of the lame man, making him walk again. It's not necessarily the case that each one of us will be given that kind of wondrous power. But each of us will be given some grace to work to the extent that we cooperate. And it might be for some, maybe even a source of scandal to think that after all Christ did, being raised from the dead, the resurrection, and just the abundantly evident power that he had, that there are still so many Christians who are in the soul oppressed, sick, diseased, paralyzed. In other words, if God's grace is so powerful, how come there are still people wallowing in sin? And this again is a question of the subjective aspect of our faith. It's true that God's power and the power of Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, is limitless. But how that power acts through each of us is dependent on our response. And a good analogy of this that I came across is how, if we take some definite force of nature, for instance, just say the fire produced by striking a match, that's a definite power. But the effect of that power is going to be very different whether it's applied to a block of granite, for instance, little effect, or to an ice cube. The ice cube would then melt. Or if it's touched to gunpowder, an explosion. So the effects of graces vary greatly from soul to soul. But one thing is true in all cases. God wills each of us to salvation, each of us to holiness. And another thing about this subjectivity, just how inconstant is the human spirit. Even in one single soul, there can be such a wide range of responses from one moment to the next. We had in the gospel the same disciples who are recounting how they had just seen Christ, recognized him in the breaking of the bread, their hearts were on fire in his presence. They're giving their witnesses, and at that very moment, Jesus appears again, and they're frightened. They're terrified, it says, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. So maybe a few hours before, they were completely enraptured by their experience with the risen Lord. And then now, in his presence again, they're terrified. Jesus is still the same. He hasn't changed. So brothers and sisters, as we struggle in our walk to follow Christ, let us keep in mind these truths when we see another brother or sister doing wondrous things in the name of the Lord. Let us not feel somehow as less of a disciple or lose hope to think that we might not produce fruits. They may not be the same fruits, but God is offering us the same grace that we have to embrace and use in whatever way He wills for us. So our faith in the objective truths of our religion should remain solid and should give us a certain constancy if we keep in mind that, yes, there are variations from soul to soul, and God wills to give some souls greater powers, apparently, or work more powerfully through them, but that doesn't mean that we aren't called to a fullness of participation in His grace that may just manifest in a different way. We're all called to holiness. Let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church and of our Savior, to help us be fully inserted in Christ the vine and as His branches produce the fruit that He wills. Praise be Jesus and Mary.